Well, my wife asked me, she said, are you going to get all crazy? And I said, probably. Mm-hmm. So I'm warning you right out the get-go. It's a very emotional message for me, okay? I had something. What are my leeways here, Matt? How far can I roam before I lose everything? Oh, you got a few cameras. Awesome. Okay. Tim asked me to preach this week, like a month and a half ago. So I had a lot of time to think about what I was going to say. Boy, this baby is, let me back this off a little bit. There we go. I had a lot of time, you know, to put together something that I thought was really going to be meaningful and something I told Melissa that I wanted to speak about, what, 4 or 5 months ago, based on John 3:16 and what it really means to believe in Jesus. You know, he says, whoever so believes in me. So that was my whole plan. But then a couple of things happened this week that changed everything. Changed everything. How many of you, did anybody watch the Grammy Awards last Sunday night? Nobody. I didn't either because, quite frankly, 95% of the entertainment industry has gone off the deep end. I really didn't have any desire to watch it. But I don't know if any of you have since seen any of the news reports, Facebook posts, things of that nature of what Sam Smith and his entourage did. No. Well, let me tell you, Sam Smith came out dressed as the devil. And he had a bunch of scantily clad young ladies with him. And he had a gentleman who has changed his sex to female sing a duet with him. And the TV network, as they were coming onto the stage to do this, said, "Let us worship." And it was a tribute to Satan. It was, these women were doing, what do I want to say? They were kind of framing sexual acts on a worldwide stage. And it was just, I saw it and I was just, my first reaction was I was angry. It's like, I was so angry. What in the world are you thinking? So I thought, you know what? God's in control. Somehow this is going to get fixed. He's in control. We're good. Nothing I need to worry about. Well, then I was going through Facebook, and I don't know how in the world one of my Facebook friends that I never in a million years would have thought would ever repost this, but he did. He reposted this. And the comments that were on there rocked me to my core. The people praising this and calling it art and calling it free speech and all of this stuff. And you know me. You know, Tim always says, God can think of something stupid for you to do. Well, I did something stupid. As it turns out, maybe not so much. But I put a post on there saying, hell is real. And Mr. Smith, those flames on that stage are nothing, nothing like the eternal lake of fire. That was it. So then you know how you get the little Facebook alerts, you know, so-and-so responded to your comment, whatever. So I bing on it, you know. And the first one was a guy going, Mark Schnitke, lake of fire, laugh emoji. And I thought, okay, he's never read the Bible. He has no idea about the lake of fire. And then something really amazing happened. I got called a Bible bully. A Bible bully. Yeah. I got called a Christian terrorist. And I'm like, what did you call me? A Christian terrorist.
Can we beat him up for you?
Nah. So then I was told that my Christian ideology was no longer relevant in today's world. First of all, it's not an ideology. Christianity is not an ideology. Christianity is a relationship. It is a relationship. Chuck religion out the door. I don't care if you're Catholic or Lutheran or Methodist or whatever you are. Christianity is about relationship. And then I got sad. These people have no relationship with him. How ugly and barren and empty must their lives be if they can't have relationship with our Lord and Savior?
Right.
I just was crushed. And I kept thinking, why do these people who are just continuing to rebel from anything good, anything solid, anything moral, where is their heart, where is their brain, where is their conscience if they have one? Where are we going? Because I can promise you, some people came back in support of me. But I will bet you there may have been 10 of them, and there was probably 50 of those people attacking me, telling me that this was art and free speech. And you know what? You can probably call it art. It definitely is free speech. And they better thank God, at least for the moment, we still have a country where you can do and say whatever you want, you know. Yeah. But there's one thing that these people need to understand, that all people need to understand. Worshiping the devil is never good. Say never. Never good. Not ever, not ever, not ever, not ever, not ever. Ever. Ever is it good. Under any circumstance is worshiping the devil good. Ever. And you know why? Because I know where he's going to end up. You hope you know, open your Bible or your device. Let's go to Revelations chapter 20, verse 10. Let me know if you're there. Revelations chapter 20, verse 10 says, "And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire." Oh, snap. And he made fun of me for that comment. "He was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Anybody know what brimstone is? I looked it up, yes. It's sulfur. Can you imagine the outright outrageous stench of burning sulfur? Go to Yellowstone? Okay. Well, I can promise you hell's a lot different than Yellowstone. A lot different than Yellowstone. So, At that point, I was just really upset because we all know where he's going to end up. He's going to end up in the lake of fire and he's going to be tormented forever. He will be powerless. powerless. Let me tell you a secret. If you have Jesus in here and you have the Holy Spirit in here, he's powerless with you as well. He is powerless. The only power he has over you is he's a master at deceiving you. And sometimes we get deceived and we go down that rabbit hole. And there's no question about that. But he is powerless. And you know why I know he's powerless? Because Jesus has the keys to his kingdom. He doesn't even control hell. Jesus has the keys to his kingdom. And guess who lives in me? Exactly. He lives in all of us. So who controls hell? We do. We control hell. If we don't let him deceive us, if we stay strong in our faith, if we stay powerful in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, hell has nothing on us. Nothing. And these people who are trying to push hell into our existence have nothing on us. But we got to stand up. He's got no future, and we all know it. And it's our job to teach everybody that. Following him has no future. It's going no place. On the other hand, I submit to you another passage that knocked me off my bad mood and made me happy. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every. Does it say some? No. Does it say only the good people? No. It says every knee shall bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, many of you, I told the story before how I really like kicking the devil in the teeth all the time, you know? And you know how you can kick the devil in the teeth? When you feel him deceiving you, when you feel like you're going to fall short of the glory of God and you're going to do something that deep in your heart you know you shouldn't do, you resist that temptation. You smack him right in the jaw when you do that. You know how else you smack the devil in the jaw? By praising and worshiping. That hurts him the most. Because he's still mad at Jesus for stealing his kingdom. He's still mad about that. And when you praise the person that stole the keys to his kingdom, he does not like that at all, and that hurts. Do you know how else? By praying. You pray. You know how else? You comfort people that need comforting. You help people that need help. You do the things that Jesus taught you to do. Whatever you do to the least of my brethren, that's what you've done for me. All of those things that you know in your heart and in your head that you're doing the teachings of Jesus, when you do that, you're smacking the devil upside the head. You're kicking him in the gut. And I love doing that on an everyday basis. Sometimes, you know, I will avoid something and I literally will go like this, yes, because I want the devil gone. I want his influence on people gone. So when I read this, every knee shall bow, how much fun is it going to be to watch Satan and his demons bow down to Jesus? Yes! Oh my goodness, I can't wait for that day. Yep. And then I'm going to walk over to Satan. I'm going to say, how's that feel, big guy? But these people reminded me of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, they did. And I remember how God took care of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I was thinking, well, I don't really want that to happen anymore. And you know, Father, why do these people have to call me names when all I did was point out that hell is real? That's it. Hell is real. And now they're attacking me and calling me names. And then God reminded me of something. And this one brought me to tears. So I looked it up. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12 says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Everybody say great. Great. Great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets before you. And so I think this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back into that feed, probably this evening sometime or this afternoon, and I'm just going to put a post. No judgment, no pressure. Private message me if you want to find out about Jesus. I can't wait for the comments to come flying back, but I want maybe, one person out of that whole group messages me back. One. And if I can get one out of that 50, and I can get him or her to follow Jesus, then that made it all worth it. All the name calling, all the persecution, all the you're a Bible bully and you're a Christian terrorist and all, you know, all that. It'll all be worth it. All be worth it. I'll let you know how that turns out, okay? So, you know, in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah and in the time of Noah, God condemned the world. He sent a flood. He wiped out everybody. You know, y'all done ticked me off. That's it. We're done. We're going to start all over. Sodom and Gomorrah came practicing much the same kind of thing that I, you know, witnessed when I watched that performance or the video of the performance last Sunday night. He took care of them too, okay? But he made a promise he's not going to do that anymore. And he sent Jesus to take care of it all. So Jesus came down and he did his part. Go with me to John 3:17. That's funny how I was originally going to talk about John 3:16. Go with me to John 3:17. And it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God created earth to be an extension of heaven originally. It was just going to be nothing more than an extension of heaven. Well, then we messed it up. And guess why? Because the devil deceived Eve. Just like he deceives us. He deceived her. They sinned. Everything changed. But I submit to you this. Remember when God created the world and then he created all the animals and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and then he created man and he looked back and he said, "This is good." I can promise you, God, especially after sending Jesus down here to redeem us all, is not going to let Satan ruin his creation. That is not ever going to happen. Say ever. Ever. That is not ever going to happen. God will not let it happen. So what's next? Jesus already came. He's not going to come back again until the trumpet sounds. So that leaves us. That leaves us. Go with me to Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Remember, he did all the heavy work. He redeemed us all. He took away sin. He took away death. He took back the keys for the gates of hell. He did it all. But then he tells us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, all authority, say all. Doesn't say some, does it? Doesn't say some. It says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, guess who Jesus just handed over all the power and authority on earth to? Us. Yep. We have no idea how powerful we are. We have no idea. Oh, Satan does. You betcha he does. That's why he works so hard to deceive us. That's why he tries to knock us out of our tree, off of our mountain, off of our path. That's why he does it. Because he knows, just like Jesus knows, how powerful we are. And he sent his Holy Spirit to live within us. He gave us the authority to change the world. He gave us the ability and the power to change people's hearts. Have you ever seen anybody's heart change? Ever seen anybody that just was mean and nasty or maybe just down and outcast or whatever? And you or maybe someone else, someone you know, worked with that person, talked to that person, helped that person, and all of a sudden the light came on. Yep. And they began to soften, or they began to liven up, and they had a whole new life, a whole new outlook. I mean, Abby testified about it up here just a few minutes ago. She was lukewarm, and God reached in and went, beep, and everything changed. See, with me, it was different. He didn't reach in and go, bing. He went, poof. Oh, he really did. He really did. Sitting back there in that back pew, and I stood up one night when the people from Bethel were here, and I just said, okay, I've been dabbling in this too long. I'm ready. Down I went. Bang. That was the night that I got to see Jesus' face, and you've heard me tell about that. So yeah, when he didn't bing me, he banged me. And I've been happy ever since. So the other thing you have to remember is that he's got our backs when we try to do his work. He's got our backs. Jesus is there. Remember, he said, I am with you even to the end of the age. He's with us always, especially when you're trying to do his work. Especially. So how do we battle this counterculture that's going on? How do we... He made us evangelists, is what he did when he gave us the Great Commission. He made us evangelists in his place, in his stead, to continue to do his work. Now, Paul and Peter and the apostles, boy, you read the Acts, oh my goodness, you want to talk about fearless stepping out in faith and just waiting for God to show up. Those guys are the greatest example ever. And that's what we have to do. I've said it up here a million times. Step out in faith and just wait for God to show up, because he will. He does every day. Just wait for him to show up. So how do we put all this in practice? Number one, we pray. And we ask God for guidance and help. Okay, I want to reach this person or these people. I want this counterculture to go away. I want them to be educated. I want them to come back to you. Tell me how I can do this. And he'll lead you. Or he'll send somebody to you that will lead you. Trust me, if you're begging God to help him change the world, you're going to get help. He's not going to leave you out there. Jesus didn't make that promise to lie. Jesus doesn't lie. You step out there, you're going to have all the backing you need. Do you know who's telling you to have courage, to not have that faith? Do you know who's telling you that? The deceiver. That's who's telling you that. You can't change the world. That's the deceiver. Look what one man did. One man. He changed the world not only during his time, but for centuries ad infinitum until eternity. And then he gave it to us. I've done what I'm going to do. Go finish for me. You're the closer. I've set it up. You go close the deal. Pray. Ask for guidance. Number two, read your Bible and gain strength. Read your Bible. Just, you know, it gives you strength. It gives you comfort. It gives you knowledge. It gives you power. Power. And the right kind of power. Worship. Worship him. In the car, at your job, in church, walking down the street, when your wife's yelling at you. Never fails. Melissa gets upset with me, you know, I can go, no, I'm kidding. I never tune her out. I can't. And then take the time to get into God's presence. I know we're busy. I know we're crazy busy all over the place we are. We are crazy. But even 10 minutes of just closing your eyes, put on some music. If you don't have any music, put on, sing a song you're familiar with. Let him come in and fill you with his presence. You think those people down at Asbury are filled with his presence right now? Yeah. Thanks to Tim, I got to go to one of those once. And God's presence was so thick that night, there was a fog in the building. It was foggy in the building in the middle of winter because God's presence was so thick you could cut it with a knife. I don't know about y'all, and I'm sure some of you have been deeper into his presence than I will ever get, but when I'm in his presence, the peace, the sheer peace, the sheer joy, the pure, unadulterated joy of feeling him wrapped around me, the security in knowing that I am his and he is mine, is beyond comprehension and beyond description. I can't describe it, but you should work to get there. And I promise you, that's why do you think when Peter walked down the street, his shadow hit him and they were healed? Same way with Jesus. You know, that's why. Because they were so full of the presence. And it's just, it changed everything. So I encourage you this week, if you know someone, I know we all do. Yeah, I know we all do. Someone that's struggling with their relationship with God or Jesus, doubting it. Someone who doesn't believe, who's told you, I'm an atheist. I don't believe. I'm an agnostic. Whatever that is. You know, you don't have to thump them. You don't have to do anything like that. You don't have to stand on the street corner and scream. Although I'm tempted to. Oh, there's been many a day when I wish I could just stand on the courthouse steps and let it roll. I know God would have my back. Some of these people, I wasn't going to call names like they did, might show up, throw stuff at me. I don't know. I might draw protests. Who knows? Bring it on. You're following somebody that's going to go in the lake of fire forever. I'm following somebody who the guy you're following is going to kneel down at a door. I want to be on his side, not that side. Try to reach out to somebody. How about be bold? You know, you can take your phone, you can take a video of yourself. I bet 90% of you in here are on Facebook. Take a video of yourself. Just a quick video saying, you know what? I believe in God and I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I'm not afraid to say it. And if anybody wants to just chat for a while, give me a call. Private message me. Contact me. What if we do that? So after all the despair and all of the, I was going through, God shows up at Asbury. How amazing is that? On one end of the week, you got these people being praised for worshiping the devil on a worldwide platform. And about 2 days later, God shows up in Asbury, and people by the thousands have been going there ever since, and it's still going on. I told Melissa, I got on the phone this morning, it's still going on. And they probably have the biggest crowd there this morning that they've had all week. It's an endless revival. So you can see, God said, oh yeah, you want to do that? Watch this. Bam. Yeah, exactly. You want to worship Satan? Watch what me and my people are going to do. So let's all be a part of the revival. Let's all do it. I know we're busy. I know we're, you know, we got a million things going on with jobs and kids and everything. But let's be a part of the revival. Let's push a little bit. Let's lose our fear. Gonophobia. Let's lose that. Let's push. Let's push for Jesus. All right. Father, we just pray that you help us, give us courage. Give us grace. Give us the words to say, the things to do, the ideas that will work so that we can do your work here. It was a wake-up call what happened this week. A wake-up call. And there are far more people out there that are doing that now than I even care to know about. But it was a wake-up call, and it's time that we call ourselves to arms. It's time that every lion wakes up. So let's wake the lions, Father. Let's wake the lions and get the pride moving in the right direction. We thank you for your help. We anticipate it. We praise you for it. We accept it. And give us the courage to just keep pushing. And obviously, we thank you most of all for the most precious blessing and gift, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.